This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is The Morning Run. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharitan Roshan. Now, yesterday, gentlemen, the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, has suggested that the government will study calls for the reintroduction of GST if that is what the people want.
I think
now,
we have to
read into that what you will.
Yeah, I think we've got to think in Mahathir's tone here, right? Because if the people want it, it's a very good way of saying, let's study this, let's take a look at what the sentiment is, and if the people want it, maybe we'll put it back. But yeah. I guess it's down to the people to decide.
So we're not backpedaling, we're not making a U-turn, it's what you want. Right, at the end of the day.
The politics of this.
Well, again, all this is coming from that suggestion from MIER. That was back on Tuesday when they suggested that perhaps it's a good idea to revive GST, but at a lower rate of 3% in comparison to the 6% before. So this is, again, they're highlighting, as what we all know, how the benefit of GST is that it's a wider tax base as well as a fairer system.
But if this goes through, according to the Prime Minister, it will not be tabled in the budget this year. It will be a study, and then if anything, reinstalled next year. But on Wednesday, I think BFM did a poll on Twitter asking people whether the GST should be introduced. More than half of those voted actually yes, but at a lower rate. And that's the problem, because Malaysia introduced GST at 6%, right?
Yeah.
And that was already quite a high base. In fact, that's higher than inflation. I think back in the day when Singapore introduced their version of GST, they kicked off at 3%, and then they gradually increased that through the years. No, Malaysia just went into the deep end.
Yeah, so you remember Japan. Japan just hit 10%, but that didn't come all of a sudden.
It took decades, right?
It took decades, almost two decades. It started with two, four, and eight, and then 10.
Yeah, and this was also something that was proposed by backbenchers last year, right? Introducing 3% GST instead of going down to zero. This was when, before they had tabled and confirmed the SST implementation. So we've got Dr. Varinderjit Singh from XL Asia. He said instead of a U-turn on GST, improve what the SST system as we see it today, and maybe we'll see a wider collection net there. Because that's the argument here, right? We need a wider tax base.
Well, don't forget that this time next week, the budget 2021 will, or in fact 2020, will be announced by the Prime Minister. And of course, all the various industry groups are lobbying for position in the budget, which is obviously still a work in progress at this point in time. The Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers supports GST's reintroduction. They say that the export industry for the country could use some help amid a weak external environment. And exports can become more competitive internationally because no GST is imposed on goods and services that are sent internationally. Well, the GST incurred on inputs can be recovered along the supply chain, which kind of also makes sense.
Okay, but can we just look into the details here? I mean, previously it was at 6%, and now what they're suggesting, of course, it's not finalised, right? But they're suggesting at 3%. Currently, the SST rate is raking up at least half of the amount of what GST were able to do, which was from 40 billion. Now we're down to about 20 billion. That's the expected amount. So looking at the numbers, so 6% previously, and now 3%, wouldn't that be the same amount?
Yeah, but you can gradually increase it, and it's a wider tax base, you see. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah, that's actually a great point, Sharid. And I guess we have to pay attention to Budget 2020. Like, how are we going to cover this shortfall? The $20 billion last year, it was helped by a special dividend from Petronas. Are we going to see something like that again this year?
Prof Jomo, now he is also on the side of not introducing GST, rather to introduce a smart, a smart taxation system, which, he's saying that government could reduce and eliminate unnecessary tax exemption. Looks like there's a lot of point of view, especially on this subject, whether or not this is an important enough subject to, I guess, warrant some task force committee to consolidate all the ideas.
Okay, just one more point. Chief Economist Arvin Huang, he's suggesting, Alan Tan, that the government actually has substantial revenue from the current tax regime to meet the 3.4% fiscal deficit target. But he reckons that the GST issue in its reintroduction potentially shifts the onus from direct tax to indirect tax. And this is kind of like almost related to what the Prime Minister said in our interview a few weeks ago. He was saying that his attention was more on reducing the trillion ringgit debt that Malaysia is facing, as well as increasing the pie. Because once you increase the pie and the economy gets bigger, then the fiscal deficit naturally decreases as a percentage, right? The debt as a percentage gets smaller versus a bigger economy. And I tell you what, if your income is rising by 10 to 15% a year, and your incomes are not great to start with from a lower base, you wouldn't be so reluctant to pay the GST, even at 3%.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, what else is on the docket? We've also seen how prices are affecting hypermarkets. Now, we've also seen hypermarkets like Giant and Tesco shrinking and closing down. Even the ones still standing are not quite as bustling as they used to be. According to a recent Nielsen report, hypermarket sales were down by 4% last year.
And this is even though many smaller format stores like convenience and personal care stores have grown in the double digits. I mean, we've all seen Family Mart, 7-Eleven, they're growing and while hypermarkets are shrinking.
Okay, so to find out more, we speak to Lee Boon Hoo. He's the client services director for Nielsen Malaysia, asking him, Boon Hoo, what is driving this trend and is there still a role for hypermarkets in this industry?
Well, you can see that nowadays, time-poor consumers increasingly value convenience. Okay, and those smaller format stores are able to better cater to the needs of speed, per se. And well, would this hypermarket be disappeared by tomorrow? The answer might be no, because like it or not, at the moment, Malaysia is still visiting the big format outlets or hypermarket twice a month, and this is mainly for their pantry stocking trip. If I have 100 ringgit to spend, actually, I'm spending 40 ringgit of my grocery spend in hypermarkets. So it's still one of the biggest channel or biggest spender for this channel at the moment. It's just that, well, because of the evolvement of the shopper's behavior or retail landscape, the emerge of the mini smaller format outlets are expanding.
So consumers like convenience, but does that necessarily mean they value convenience over cost, though?
Not really, because the similarity across all these channels, be it a hypermarket, being a mini market, be it a convenience store, actually all these outlets offer attractive promotions. You'll be surprised on that, but this, one of the surveys shows that actually all these outlets attracting shoppers or attracting footfall through deep promotion. So the only differentiator for the mini market is basically the location, which means that shoppers can get around conveniently, easily. Okay. Secondly, also a checkout counter is more efficient. Okay. I believe, give you an example, at the moment I would spend 30 minutes to go to the hypermarket to find a parking. Maybe I spend another 15 minutes to queue for checkout to make my payment. So I spend about 45 minutes just for waiting. Whereas a nearby mini market, I can just go in and out within a short time frame. Net, you can see that the key factor could be the key driver is shopper is looking to the fastest way to go in and out from their grocery trip.
So because hypermarkets are sort of waning in popularity, these chains have to adapt real quickly. What strategies do most retailers adopt?
Good question. So, well, obviously, well, they will not be sitting there by doing nothing. Three steps that are being taken by the big format outlet. Okay, first thing is basically, well, it's being announced by two of the big retailers recently that they're going to explore in the smaller format outlets. Okay, this will be the first approach. Second approach, one of the big retailers also trying to revamp or facelift their store layout in order to create a better or a better shopper experience in-store-wide. Okay, that's the second approach. Finally, the third approach is basically about expanding the assortment of offers in the outlet if they were to compare with the mini markets or smaller format outlets, which they do have the limitation of space constraints.
That was Lee Boon Hoo, Client Services Director for Nielsen Malaysia. Interesting comments. We can see that anecdotally all around us, the death of the hypermarket or the demise of the hypermarket and the rise of the family convenience stores.
Yeah,
it feels like it was almost like yesterday when hypermarkets were growing at such great rates, right? I was looking at, I still remember Tesco's coming up all over the place. And I guess maybe this rate also, it's a high base effect, right? It looks like these are falling off, shrinking because there are a lot more
they're
of
so
them
prevalent.
To shrink.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.